People matter. And I think that's for me, the restaurant industry, as I see it, is about people, right? It's about you have people who cook great food, who make great food, who create great dishes, and they're giving it to people as their expression of who they are and where they come from. And to have that experience, I think, is really should not be overlooked.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. This might be a little bit of an unusual one because my guest today is Brandi Chastain, and you may know her as the hero of the 1999 Women's World Cup with a very famous photo. That's right, isn't it, Brandi?
It's maybe infamous.
Infamous. That is probably true. Where you spontaneously, after scoring the winning goal, ripped off your shirt like all soccer players do to celebrate, and history was made.
History was made, yes, and rules were changed.
Well, that's first of all, thank you for joining me. We spent probably 40 minutes talking before this, so we kind of chewed up the time we were going to record. And who's your dog, by the way?
Oh, this is Ray. She's a Bernie Doodle. Come on up here, Ray. Say hi.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, we love Bernie Doodles. There we go.
She's a love. She likes to, if I put her outside of the office, she finds a way to knock the door in, and then, yeah, she makes her presence.
Hi. Known. Well, we'll have to introduce her to Akira, our husky. So,
okay, nice.
Well, first of all, you mentioned something that I was going to ask about, which is when, you know, you had this moment where you scored the game-winning goal versus China to win the first time U.S. won the Women's World Cup, right?
It was the second time we won.
Second
the
time. World
Cup, but it was the first time in the U.S. that we won.
And that was at the Rose Bowl, I think, right?
That's correct.
Okay, got semi-good memory sometimes.
Yeah.
So now, when you said the rules were changed, what were the rules that were changed and why?
Well, the rule now is you can't take your shirt off because if you do, then you get a yellow card because you're delaying the game. And I think they put it under unsportsmanlike conduct, which I think they're trying to suck the fun and enjoyment of sports straight out of it with all the new, you know, I love technology. I work in the tech space. I have a phone. We're on a computer. I mean, thank God for these opportunities to use technology. But for me with technology and sport, I think it's just taking the emotion and the passion and just squelching all the fun, in my opinion. So, are they going to get it wrong sometimes if they don't use technology? Probably. Are they going to get it right sometimes? Probably. But that's what it's about, right? There's human error and human nature that's in sports, which I love so much.
So I don't know if you follow hockey, but in 1999, there was a similarly controversial incident in the Stanley Cup final. I don't know if you know much about this.
Okay. No, but tell me.
So there was this really crazy rule in the 90s where a player couldn't have his foot in the goalie crease because they would call back a goal.
Yeah.
And in the Stanley Cup final, Buffalo Sabres versus Dallas Stars, Brett Hull famously had his foot clearly in the crease and scored the game-winning goal in overtime, probably around the same time that you scored your goal. And they didn't have the guts to call it back.
What?
So if you go by the rules and by review, that would not have counted and they would have kept playing. But they actually gave the win to them in spite of that. And if so, it changed the rule because they're like, oh, we changed the rule. It was a bad idea. But literally the rule was broken and very clearly and everybody knew it.
And what was the reaction of Brett? Brett and I have played golf many, many times.
Did you? Okay.
Oh, damn. I'm going to get him on this one the next time I see him.
Oh, Brett was like you. He was like, the gloves went up and he ran and he was like, I won. And I don't think anybody had the heart to tell him, no, you're right. You won. You're good. But they didn't tell him, no, that you broke the rule. Let's call it back. I don't know what. And nobody to this day knows why they didn't call it back.
I mean, here's the question. I mean, hockey, listen, I am a very novice hockey fan.
Yeah,
I did become a season ticket holder of the Sharks. Because one, I wanted to be supportive and I love sports. But I'll tell you, when I first went, I was like, I couldn't see the puck ever, number one, and then figuring out the rules, number two. And there's so many little things that happen in hockey and it's so fast. Could they have, how do you say that everybody knew he broke the rule? It was so just obvious.
Everybody knew it. It was like you saw it happen. It wasn't like it was a little bit in. It wasn't like it needed video review.
Gotcha.
It was clearly he was in the crease. He wasn't interfering with the goalie, which is the rule changed after that. But technically.
So wait, can you now go in the crease or no, you can't still?
You can. It's modified, but if your foot's in the crease and you score a goal and you're not interfering with the goalie, it counts. So he literally, at that very moment in overtime, broke the rule and they changed it after that.
Interesting. Well, that's how things sometimes get changed, right?
Absolutely. So you can probably connect with Brett on that one.
I'm going to talk to him about that.
So now it's after that. So they changed the rule and then you've been continuing to work in sports, but also now in technology.
Yes. I have a deep passion for soccer and women's soccer. And my husband coaches at Santa Clara University women's soccer, and he's been there for 34 seasons. And, you know, once I kicked the ball for the first time, Michael, I'll tell you, honestly, I say this kind of tongue in cheek, but it was love at first kick. And I feel great about it every day. I go to coach my kids. I watch it on television, and every time I do, I am even more delighted that I have the chance to be a part of it. And so coaching was, though not my first, when I was not reselected for the national team, that was very difficult as I didn't feel like I was done with my career and I wanted to continue. And yet I was forced into, you know, my career being finished in 2004. And then it was hard for me to be around the game, but I realized, you know, in a not too long of a time that it's really important to me in very many different ways, whether that's teaching, whether that's sharing experiences, whether that's being competitive, you know, challenging myself, learning new skills. And that's where I think learning new skills has brought me to working with City Cheers and this technology space. You know, we have an app that connects patrons to restaurants, and we have different, under our City Cheers umbrella, we have different opportunities to pay with your phone, to wait list, to reorder, to see the chalkboard, to know what's happening in your favorite places. Excuse me. And, you know, working in this space has gotten me out of my comfort zone. And this is exactly what sports has gifted me all these years, which is it's never going to go perfectly. One, there will be mistakes, so get used to it and get over it. Two, be a good teammate. Support those people around you. Three, I think share your passion and your love for people, and then you know, do your best, whether you're on the bench or whether you're in the game, to make a difference. And so, you know, this opportunity with City Cheers has been mind-blowing for me. Number one, learning a whole new language, which I honestly never thought in my life that I would be speaking. Getting into the bar and restaurant space, I mean, I don't think the majority of people think about how restaurants are run or how they're operated as a consumer. You just, you know, you go in, there's food, you make an order, you get it, you're happy, you share a meal with somebody, and then you leave. Like, you know, but it's complicated, and it's very interesting. And so how those dynamics work behind the scenes, I think, has been really wonderful to learn and to understand the culture of restaurants and bars, and, you know, how they operate and how they operate differently. And it's kind of, it's similar to the conversation we were having. It's like, right, it's a microcosm of society. And so it's been great being uncomfortable for the last 6.5, 7 months, learning how to function in this new space.
And what a challenging time. So you're saying you've been with City Cheers for the last 6, 7 months?
Yes.
So you came on right when.
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Restaurants are like basically in hellfire at the moment.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think part of, I am not a savior, but I feel that we have a great opportunity to be a part of change that will be the future. And if we can help those restaurants survive and hopefully get into thriving, gosh, wouldn't that be, that would just be, it's like coaching young players and seeing them all of a sudden develop into the people who they can become. And, you know, I want to give them as much relief and support as possible at this time. And if we can drive customers to their locations, even better.
I love it.
Make the place safer and more secure. That would also be a bonus. And increase hospitality. Why not?
And I think restaurateurs in particular are suddenly thrust into, listen, I need to address order ahead. I need to address the ability to have loyalty. And yeah. I need to address alternative forms of payment. So you're probably at a very timely point in, probably an inflection point for a lot of restaurants, right? Where they're trying to figure out, can I survive this? Should I survive this? And they seem to be the most affected. And I guess there's all the workers too, right? Like that are affected by that too, like such a huge industry. So
yes, it's, I think before the pandemic, it was, there's the numbers are like $1.3 million, $1.3 million establishments across the country. That's a lot.
That's huge.
That is so huge. That's a lot of people with a lot of worry and concern and who need support. And so the company was not started. Let me just be clear. The company was not started out of this crisis.
Right.
It had been being built for the past 4.5 years with a marketing perspective of how can we connect customers to locations. And so that was really the driving force, but it's incredible what's been needed now and how it's very appropriate for what's happening. And then going forward, you know, we do everything with our phones. Nobody will be in the future. I don't believe anybody will be bringing a wallet and taking out cash or taking out their credit card. It will all exist in this little small space that we do everything.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. I mean, right or wrong, it seems like just the one of the interesting effects is that there's no money out there. Like there's no change, for example, right? So I think people are increasingly being forced into new habits, like in new corners, like you're mentioning, right? So not just restaurants, but even society. So I think the most resilient people I know are restaurateurs, and they you know, they scrap it out on small margins and they try to find ways to win.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
I think as we've been talking, you know, we're talking about sports, you and hockey, me and soccer, you know, there's this degree of emotional attachment we have with the places we like to dine and the places we like to have a drink and the people who come there. And I think for, as far as communities go, they're critical. Those are it's like some people's church, right?
Totally.
Where families gather, friends gather.
It's interesting because, I mean, restaurants have been around for, I mentioned to you, I went to Ireland and went back again. And in Ireland, there's a pub called, I think it's called the Brazen Head, established in 1190.
Oh, my gosh.
You're like, wait, how old is this?
That's a whole lot of whiskey and pints of Guinness.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? So I think, you know, restaurants are very central to us having a place to connect and have community. In addition to, you know, there's so much great food innovation happening, right?
Yes.
That I think people are definitely drawn to it. And it's one of the last great, truly in-person aspects of, you know, connecting with people. And so it's...
And we can't lose that.
No, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's very important.
Yeah, we can't lose that because though, you know, we talk about so many great things about technology. I think another thing about technology is it kind of separates us from each other and sometimes reality, right? Because everything
totally
that you look at can't be that great all the time.
Right.
So
it's an alternative view of everything. It's like the rose colored glasses or the not so rose colored glasses, right?
Gotta keep it real.
Yeah, for sure.
People matter. People matter. And I think that's for me, the restaurant industry as I see it is about people, right? It's about You have people who cook great food, who make great food, who create great dishes, and they're giving it to people as their expression of who they are and where they come from. And to have that experience, I think, is really should not be overlooked, to be honest with you. It's not just about nourishment, although that's very important.
Yeah.
But I think the experience is good. You know, it's so critical.
So I know we're probably a little more constrained for time than we'd like to be, but first of all, I want to make sure that you have an open door. Maybe we can schedule more time in the future,
sure.
But I really appreciate you spending time with me, but I do want to be conscious of that time. So what is next for Brandi Chastain?
If I only knew, if I only knew, gosh, you know, I'm really determined to help City Cheers become the way people look at the restaurant bar space and the consumer, right? The connection between those two. I love being on winning teams. I want to be a part of the solution in that way. So I look forward to spreading this. This is going to, I think it's like other things that we've experienced recently, you know, the Ubers. I mean, do you remember the first time you ever took an Uber and you're thinking, boy, that was kind of weird. It was very easy.
I was probably very early. Because yeah, I think when I first took it, it was only black cars.
Yeah, of
and
course.
I was like, yes, finally.
I've arrived. So, you know, I think that experience that you have in that, you know, pickup drop off is similar to what you can experience in what we're doing in these restaurant spaces where the consumer, once they check in using City Cheers and the order goes and gets put into the hardware at the location, once that order is connected to the person, it comes up on your phone and now you're in charge. You can view, tip, pay, and go anytime you like. So it releases the location, the staff, and the consumer of that friction that happens at the end, which nobody finds interesting. It's not delightful. It's not life enhancing. You know, it's a means to an end, right? And it's not super necessary now because technology has evolved. And so culturally, we're going to be changing. Now we can have more of a relationship with the servers, having communication. We can talk like you and I. And when I'm done, I'm out of here. I don't have to wait for that whole last bit. And so that for me, I think that's really my focus. I think I'm taking a senior license coaching for US soccer. I want to become
a
better coach.
Great.
Yeah, I'm continuing my education because I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I've learned and everything's in here. And I want to be better at being able to get it out and to be able to communicate it to my players and be the best coach that I can be and give back to the game that's given me so much. So that would be great. I would love to find myself coaching some of our nation's best players with the national teams.
I think they should be calling you soon. That's
well, you know, I got
there's politics in all sports. I really,
I'm a work in progress, Michael. I'm working it out, but those are my two things. I think being the best parent I can be I have a 14-year-old son. I want to be a better parent for him. And I have two granddaughters. So,
oh my goodness. What?
Yes, I know.
Oh boy.
Fantastic.
Hopefully it will not be there soon.
Oh, but if you are, you will be so happy.
I'm sure I'll be quite happy.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to wrap up with a few quick things. First of all, how do people get in touch with you? And is there anything we didn't touch on that we should have?
Gosh. Oh yes. One thing, I have some friends who will be launching Women in Soccer. Now this is not an exclusive group. So that's WIS. Women in Soccer will have, anybody who is a fan, a player, a soccer mom, a coach, a director, whatever, you can come to Women in Soccer and you can get your player card. And if you're a male and you want to be a part of Women in Soccer because you coach in it, you have a daughter who's in it, for whatever reason, you can become an ally. So that's a part of the program as well. And they're launching that December 9th. And I just want to keep pushing the things that are so great that have a chance to make a difference. They're calling it, it's the LinkedIn of soccer fun.
Okay.
Right. And a way for people to connect within soccer, whether it be for business purposes, whether it be for sport purposes. So that's a big one.
Terrific.
Thank you for asking. And City Cheers, you know, I just want to keep pushing that. They can go to citycheers.com. That's the website. But you can also get the app in the Google App Store or the Apple App Store. And, you know, we hope to be coming to a restaurant near you. And if you are an owner operator, you can get a hold of me at brandy.c@citycheers.net. Please reach out to me. If you work in this business, in this industry, and you're looking for something that could be a game changer, you want to, I'm saying, listen, you either have a chance to get on the wave and ride it or get crushed by it.
I think people are feeling the crush a little bit. So yeah. I think definitely for order ahead, loyalty, payments, those are all challenges technologically, I think, that restaurants are open to. So
yep.
Encourage people to reach out and connect.
Yeah, let's have a conversation.
Makes total sense.
Be great.
All right, I'm going to wrap with a couple of quick things. First okay. of all, if you could recommend only one book that people read in the world, what would it be?
In the whole entire world?
Whole world, just one.
That is so torturous to me. That
you don't know.
You don't have any idea how hard that is.
But you're an educated lady. I'm sure you got like at least one great book that you don't have to put. You can say five okay. if you want. But
I'm just gonna. This is not the only book, but I remember reading this book and thinking it really inspired me and it touched me in a way that maybe I hadn't been touched by a book before. The Power of One, and just talking about the underdog and you know how your heart and your head and you know. Just, you know, the conundrum of, we were talking about it earlier about race and about where do we fit in the world and how powerful one person can be. And I love this book, The Power of One.
Is that by Bryce Courtney?
Yes. Is it Courtney?
Courtney. Okay. I don't know. I probably got the name wrong, but
it's okay. Yeah.
I can't pronounce anything now that I've come to the United States. I don't know why. Can't read anymore.
Do not lay that on me or us.
Different language. I don't know. It's a different English. If you were the sum of the five people you spend the most time with, who do you, Brandy, spend the most time with?
Oh, my family. During this time, it's with my husband, my son, my mother-in-law. And I'm considering calling my dog a person because she has incredible facial emotions and she's fantastic.
We will.
But my soccer teams. I would say my soccer teams.
Oh, yeah, soccer teams.
Yeah. My soccer teams and my family.
I love it. Okay. The final thing is when we have interesting people on the podcast, we like you to nominate other interesting people. We typically talk to experts or entrepreneurs, but they can also be influencers in some other way. Mm-hmm. And usually the first person that pops to your head that you can introduce us to is the best. But who would you, Brandy Chastain, like to nominate as a future guest of Automate and Grow?
Oh, well, I think one of my former teammates, Julie Foudy, she's hilarious, but don't tell her I said that because her head will swell.
It's okay. Recorded. So it's like,
oh, dang it.
Well, she won't watch it.
you know, Julie Foudy she's just fun loving. She's involved. She's truly authentically herself. You know, she's wonderful. She's making a difference. So I think she's someone who you would find very interesting.
I love it. Yeah. Brandy Chastain, thank you so much for spending time with me today and come back anytime that you want.
Thank you so much.
This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast, and we will see you in a future episode, hopefully with Julie Foudy of Automate and Grow.